Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. This week we have been honoring my friend, Pastor Tim Parsons. Tim was the founding pastor of Centerpoint Christian Church here in Lexington, Kentucky, but unfortunately on August 26, in 2021, he took his last breath as he passed away from complications from COVID-19. Tim was only 57 years old, but man, he packed a lot into those 57 years. And on top of being a pastor, he was also my friend. We had coffee several times, especially when they moved to Lexington and started planting the church 15 years ago in a movie theater over in the Hamburg Regal Cinemas. And just got to know Tim really well over those 15 years that he was in Lexington. And just so blessed to know him. And we've been playing his final message. He didn't know it was going to be his final message, but it was on August 1st at Centerpoint Church in Lexington, where Tim was the founding pastor and lead pastor. And we're going to continue that message today, and I know you'll be blessed as he preached just a powerful message. Even though he had no idea it was going to be his last sermon on this earth, it was just so powerful and just so much what Tim was all about pointing people towards Jesus and making people disciples of Jesus and going on mission trips both here in the United States, but also internationally, so that people would know how much Jesus loved them, that they would accept him as their Lord and Savior. So I want to share with you a Facebook post that I saw that really just summed up who Tim was by Freddie Salcido. He said, "What can I say about Tim? He was a man who exemplified living for Jesus. He loved you no matter what your baggage was. He took you in no matter what your past was. He helped you grow past everything you felt held you back from God. He showed us how to live for Jesus and to be on mission. I remember visiting Centerpoint Church when it was at Regal in Hamburg, but began attending when they moved to the building on Todd's Road. I remember joining a Connect group to find out what this church was really about. Leaving a church that hurt us so bad, we took a chance, and I'm so glad that we did. We joined Tim and Susan's group and began a friendship with them that lasted 13 years. Tim would always meet us at the door of their house with a huge smile and welcome us into his home. That through the next couple of years, Tim would take us to Brazil for our first international mission trip, help me to grow in my leadership skills and abilities, help Kelly and I through the most difficult time in our marriage, and loved us like Jesus through all of it. As Joey Stafford put it, Tim would tell you like it needed to be said. He wouldn't hold back because sometimes we needed tough love. He wouldn't yell or demean us, but he corrected us with love. He would challenge me to be better than I thought I was. He called me out of my comfort zone a lot. This has helped me to be a better father and a leader. Tim's mission was and will continue to always be one that calls people to be true disciples of Jesus. Through all the people he poured into, we continue his legacy of leading everyone we meet to be true disciples of Jesus, and he was the embodiment of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20.
And today you have a moment to change that. You have a moment to accept that. Paul writes about worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And Heath Lambert, in his book, Finally Free, probably does the best job of anyone I know in describing this. Listen to what he says. He says, Paul makes a distinction between two kinds of sorrow in this passage. These two sorrows possess different traits and produce opposite results. But we so easily confuse them because they share the most obvious element, the sorrow itself. You see, one kind of sorrow Paul talks about is worldly sorrow. And worldly sorrow is legitimate sorrow. It's actual sadness, brokenness, tears, when a person experiences this kind of sorrow. The issue is not about whether the person is sad. Instead, it's what they are sad about. The focus of worldly sorrow is the world. And people experience worldly sorrow, they're distressed because they're losing or the fear of losing things that the world has to offer. The loss could be their reputation, a job, money, family, sexual fulfillment, or even access to pornography, anything that brings security, comfort, or pleasure. And a sad person is consumed with worldly sorrow. They're concerned about losing stuff, no matter how honorable or dishonorable that stuff is. This kind of worldly sorrow leads to death. It's lethal because it flows from the same kind of heart that desired the sin in the first place. Worldly sorrow is obsessed with keeping these objects of selfish desire. And all the tears and all the pain are actually about the loss of your stuff. But there's another kind of sorrow. Paul calls it godly sorrow. It may look just as sad as the worldly sorrow, but something is very different is happening in the heart. Worldly sorrow is sad over losing the things of the world, while the focus of godly sorrow is a God himself. Godly sorrow is pained over the break in the relationship with God. It is heartbroken that God has been grieved and offended. And the tears of godly sorrow flow from the sadness that God is loving and his holy law has been broken. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation without regret. Godly sorrow produces life. It marks a change from the sinful self-centeredness to a pure concern for God and living for his glory. The person full of godly sorrow has a heart that wants to please God rather than themselves. And godly sorrow motivates real and lasting change. Church, can I just ask you straight up today, is God speaking to you about repenting of your sin? I don't know what it is because I don't live with you. I don't know. But maybe there's an area in your life that you've drifted into the ditch. Maybe God today is speaking to you about repenting of that, about a change of your heart, about changing your direction. And today you can do that. You need to do that. The apostles preached, according to verse 12, a message of repentance. The last thing we see is they were given a ministry. Look at verse 13. It says this, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. I love the word many. Many people were getting their lives restored. Many people were finding healing. Listen, when they went out, Jesus gave them this challenge to preach the gospel and to care for people. We often tend to just do one or the other. We tend to focus on social justice and what we can do for people and fail to remember the message of the gospel. Now listen to me. Please don't be upset. I'm not against social justice things. I think it's extremely important to help people in need, to help people that need food, to help people that need water, to provide freedom for people who are enslaved. But let me ask you a question. What good is it to bring food or water or freedom to someone and not give them the greatest message ever that changes their life, not just now, but forever? That's why these guys were sent out not to just do one thing, but to do the other. Many of our churches, it's an or and it needs to be an and. We need to do both. We need to love people and care for people where they are. But in the process, we need to make sure we preach the gospel. They were sent out to preach the gospel and to care for people. They were to proclaim the love of God and to show the love of God. They did this by casting out demons, caring for the sick. And church, that's what we're called to do too, to proclaim the love of God, to show the love of God. And before leaving, Jesus gave them instructions. This was earlier on. This was back in Matthew 9, but listen to what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Can you picture this? Jesus said this to them before he sent them out. He gave these instructions to them, and these instructions would give birth to the Great Commission, the birth of the church to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatever Jesus has taught us. And this early church, they got it. The early church believed this, and they exploded. The Acts church exploded. Why? Don't miss this, because everyone felt ownership. It wasn't just about the apostles. It wasn't just about the deacons. It wasn't just about the pastors or the connect group leaders or the leadership team. It wasn't about just certain Christians that have been around for a while. No, everyone felt ownership. They shared the gospel wherever they were, and the church exploded. You're like, exploded? Do you really mean that? Yeah, listen to Acts 2. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together. They had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, they continued in one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. That sounds like the church. And what did God do? And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Every day, people were coming to faith in Christ because they weren't just waiting on Sunday service. They weren't just waiting on Connect Group night. They weren't just, you know, depending on their staff and their leaders and people to do it. They did it. Everyone bought it. Everyone felt ownership, and God changed people day by day. You're like, really? How many people? Well, two chapters later in Acts 4, we read this, but many have heard the message and believed, and the number of men, not counting women and children, the number of men that came was about 5,000. We see the beginning of the church. The ground is quaking in a place that had never really heard or understood anything about the gospel. The church is going out. And yes, Jesus proclaimed it. John the Baptist proclaimed it. Yes, the apostles proclaimed it. But now they're going out. And it's multiplying because the church is getting this. And they're not just depending on the leaders to do it, but they're all doing it. They feel ownership. And people are just doing it at work and school and around, you know, with each other. And the church is exploding. Now, let me ask you today. What if we did the same thing? This is a command not just to them, but to us as well. What if we did the same thing? What if we felt ownership? Well, what if we felt the ownership of our mission as a church to take everyone we meet one step closer to being a true disciple of Jesus, to own the responsibility to share the gospel? You know, when we created that as a church now 16 years ago, we did not create that for our staff or for our leadership team or for our Connect Group leaders. We came here, we moved to this area, we began this church because we believed that we could create a church where the body of Christ did that. What would it look like? What would it look like if all of us felt ownership? Not just thinking somebody else will do it. Not just thinking, you know, I'm not ready for this. What if we just did it? I know that sounds crazy, and some of you are rolling your eyes and shutting your Bible or turning off your phone, but just for a minute, let me be crazy and just ask the question, what if? What if we actually lived like that? What if all of us were responsible to make a list of all the lost people in our world? And by the way, all of us have a lot of lost people in our world. What if we just made a list? What if all of us felt the ownership and responsibility to make a list and to pray every day? It'd take a minute, maybe 2 minutes, for each of us to pray down this list. I pray for this person and this person and this person. What if we made a list of the lost people in the world? What if all of us felt ownership to do that? And what if we began to look for an opportunity to share the life-changing message of the gospel with people? What if? What if each of us won one person to Christ in the next year? Now, I know now you're really rolling your eyes. You're going, that sounds impossible. Really? I just don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable for somebody who's received the gift of salvation, who's had the life change of Jesus, who understands what they did when they met Jesus, to not, you know, not worry about 10 or 15, but just one person you're going to pray for, think about, write their names down, pray for them, share the gospel, and one. And I know we can't save anyone. But what would it look like if we did that? What if? I don't know about you, but that's the church I want to go to. Can you imagine what it would look like here? I know it's crazy and you think I'm insane, but just dream with me for a minute at least. What would it look like to walk into church if that's the church you went to? What would it look like to have somebody come up to you from your Connect group and say, hey, here's so-and-so. I just led them to faith in Christ. Here's my one. Here's the one I led to Christ. What would it look like in here, in this room? What would our ministries look like? What would our church feel like? What would it feel like to come to church and worship like that? I want to go to that church. What if?
Join us tomorrow as we conclude Tim Parsons' powerful message on Mark chapter 6 on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Serving Central Kentucky since 2012, Gluten-Free Miracles is Lexington's locally owned healthy bakery and cafe. For those who follow a gluten-free diet, there are lots of delicious options. If you're on a paleo, keto, or vegan eating plan, then Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is also the place for you. Need a birthday cake or anniversary cake for that special occasion? Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe can also assist you there. Conveniently located off Nicholasville Road behind Jeff's Car Wash. Visit them today or check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.